I am Sharif Quadri, and this is The Crossfire. This morning, we are continuing our conversation on... we want to really delve into the nitty-gritty, the cocoa of the 5,000 naira that the government said they want to be sending to poor Nigerians. Okay, the Vice President, Yemi Osinbajo, flagged the initiative off last week. It's called Rapid Response Register. I have with us this morning the head of the agency, NASSCO is what they're called, the National Social Safety Net Coordinating Office. I have the head of that office here on the show this morning. It's Mr. Iowa Apera. Mr. Iowa, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us on the show today. Mr. Iowa, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
It's good to have you on the show. It's good to have you.
Right.
The National Social Safety Net Coordinating Office is a federal government organization with a mandate to establish the building blocks and delivery of targeted transfers and livelihood support to extreme poor and vulnerable households in Nigeria. Mr. Apera, let's start with this. Can you please tell us what the Rapid Response Register is all about?
The Rapid Response Register, good morning and thank you for having me. The Rapid Response Register is the register of the urban poor. It is targeting people living in the urban and peri-urban areas who are informal workers, those with daily income, artisans, etc., whose life has been impacted or affected by the pandemic. The close of the economy as a result of the COVID-19 crisis, they lost their daily incomes or source of livelihood. These are the people that we are targeting and bringing them onto the Rapid Response Register platform to access support from the government of Nigeria.
How do you intend to bring these people on board?
What we are doing is we used satellite sensing to identify the urban political wards and peri-urban wards where the urban poor reside. With that, we'll then push text messages after due sensitization and advocacy.
Okay.
Send text messages to this identified locations, soliciting for them to register onto the platform. Once we get their responses from the SMS and their registration,
okay,
we synthesize the data, we'll go back to the same community where they have registered,
okay,
to validate the information and take other details from them.
How would the register happen? Is it online? Is it virtual? Mr. Apera, can you turn off your radio or whichever device that you're using to listen to the show, because it's interfering with what you're saying and it's not making everything clear. Thank you for doing that. Now, how would this register happen? How would they register? Is it going to be a physical registration process or is it going to be online?
It's online. So you send SMS, you send text messages to the identified political. So using high-tech satellite imagery, we identify the political world. So for instance, in Abuja here, you identify places like Dutse, places like Dutse Alhaji, places like Pape, etc., where the urban poor reside.
Right.
Now, once you identify that, the telephone map for each of those locations, as you know,
okay,
we all are attached to a telephone mast within the area of residence.
True.
Once you identify those places, we'll send text messages only to those locations for those people around there. Then they would then go on to, they would respond to the text message by providing basic information like their name and their address.
Okay.
We would then take this information and go back to the community and validate that you are Mr. A that says you reside in 25 whatever street in Mpape.
Okay.
You are an artisan, a bricklayer, a tailor, whatever manual jobs that you were doing
right
before the closure of the economy as a result of the pandemic.
Hmm.
Once we identify, we get this information, we'll take all of your bio data. We also take your information whether or not you have a bank account.
Okay.
And if you have, we take your bank account and the details. We'll also take the geo-coordinate of your location. Now, this geo-coordinate is critical in the sense that it helps us locate this individual at any time.
Mm.
And, of course, help us in our back check, also helps us in our validation, and it's also a record that any individual who wants to validate or verify the integrity or otherwise of the process can also trace some of these individuals to interview them or to meet with them.
Okay, fantastic. Now, I'm glad at the processes that you've explained so far, but here is one question, Mr. Apera. The worry here is that before now, Nigerians have been inundated with scam calls and scam messages. How can we be able to tell that the messages that you're going to be sending to these people are genuine messages? What are those, you know, things that they need to watch out for in determining that these messages would actually have come from you?
First, it will be clearly stated that it's from the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, Disaster Management and Social Development soliciting their participation in the Rapid Response Register for COVID-19 cash transfer. They will then see a link that will lead them to a USSD code. Now, this USSD gateway will then give them the details where they fill in the form.
Okay.
And once they fill in this form, we'll come back to validate. So there are loads of validation steps within the process. So first you get an SMS.
Okay.
That will be from us.
Okay.
Second, you are able to then access it through the USSD code. At that point, we're not asking you any details. We're not asking you for your bank account details.
Okay.
If you see anyone ask for your bank account details through that process, it is not from us.
Hmm.
Your bank account details will only be taken when we physically meet with you.
Okay.
And our enumerators will be well identified with our ID cards, our vests, etc. that you clearly identify that they are from the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, Disaster Management and Social Development, and they are our team members.
So the verification will be done physically?
Yes. When you send your information through your text messages or USSD code,
right,
this information will only be your name.
Okay.
The place you are residing in, that is your address.
Okay.
And your contact number, which is your telephone number.
Okay.
This is the only initial information we'll get from you.
Hmm.
Once we get this information, it will come from a political ward that we have already targeted and identified.
Okay.
Now, these text messages are customized for each political ward.
Hmm.
If you forward this text message that you get to someone else, that person will not get registered into the system.
Oh.
Because there are those checks and balances. Every of the text messages is attached to a particular location.
Okay.
And so when you respond outside of that location, you will not gain complete access to that registration portal.
Okay.
So this is some of the checks that we have actually identified within the system to ensure that there is foolproof integrity of the entire process.
Fantastic. Would bring in the people here, because they are the ones that are directly concerned, and they will ask you some questions. But before we get to the telephone, I need to chip in this one. How about those that don't have bank accounts? Eh, Mr. Apera, what is in it for them?
So once you don't have your bank account, we identify you. You will have our contacts and our details. Now, the Federal Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, through its program that we run at NASCO, has offices, local government offices, state government offices, all over the Federation. Now, once you do not have a bank account, you are given a window to get bank accounts. We also know that most banks, when you go, you must fill in forms, you must get other details, and you get a deposit. We are discussing with some banks that we're in partnership with,
okay,
who will give you either a virtual wallet or a bank account on the spot. Once we come back, clean our data, synthesize it, and identify those who don't have bank account numbers, the banks are very happy to partner with us to give zero bank accounts.
Okay.
Zero balance bank accounts.
Fantastic. Now, let's also drop this in there. Lagos, feel free. You can ask my guest any question this morning. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. That is the studio line. You can send WhatsApp messages as well to ask my guest your question this morning. The WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. That is 0809-597-5805. Or just sending your questions via Facebook and YouTube live stream, where we're live streaming this conversation right now. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook and YouTube. You would notice that the conversation between me and my guests has been very brisk and very fast. So please, when you're calling in, go straight to the point. Let's know what you want to say, your question, and then we can attend to you as quickly as possible. Okay, thank you for being there. Let's speak with Joe before I ask my next question. Joe is in Lekki. Joe, good morning to you.
Hello?
Joe, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning to you. Sherry. Yes, please.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Joe. I'm calling from Lekki.
Welcome.
My question is, all this morning we keep on sharing, who are these people that are going to receive this money?
Okay. Now, thank you for your question. Mr. Apere, I know you have said it, but please repeat it for the sake of Joe and others who didn't hear when you mentioned it. Who are these people that will receive this money?
For the rapid response register for COVID-19 cash transfer, those who will receive the money are those living in our urban areas, peri-urban areas, the urban poor. Those who earn daily income.
Okay.
Now, a bricklayer, a tailor, a salonist, a taxi driver, an Okada driver, a plumber, all of those who earn their living on a daily wage.
Okay.
Who, when this we close the economy. So we'll give an example. And a carousel that stays at the side of your street in Lekki, that every morning you go and buy a car from. This woman has a startup capital of less than 2,000 naira or only 3,000 naira. And he has a stock of beans. When they close the economy and the country, wherein she was unable to go out at that street and sell the akara, she fed her family with the stock of beans that she had left. The small money she was going back to buy to replenish, she also used it to feed her family. Now that we've opened the economy, the woman doesn't have a cupboard to start back her business. I'm very sure most of us on our street corners, we have missed such a carousel. We have missed such little provisions sellers. We have missed to see some of even the Okada riders that usually come to pick up. Some of them, we don't see them no more because they took this Okada at higher purchase in most cases.
Yeah, in most
because
cases.
Because they locked the economy, right, they couldn't balance their owners. Their owners collected their bikes back. And now they can't go back to get it. So you miss seeing them around. These are the people we are targeting. And if they respond, and we give them this money. Federal government is giving 5,000 naira every month for 6 months. This will restart their life. So they are carousela, who's startup capital to sell a car,
right,
is about 2,000 naira or 3,000 naira, has a 5,000 naira that she could use the 2,000, 3,000 naira to start back her business, and the other 2,000 naira used to feed. It is a stopgap relief measure by the federal government.
All right.
But the good news again is we are building a database. Now, this database could then be used by government and other donor partners to even start up a social security system for this country that we do not have.
Okay, let's speak with Israel before I ask my next question.
Hey.
Israel, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to Israel.
Yeah. All right, my contribution is we're talking about the downtrodden, the poor of the poorest, so to say. But if we're looking at the poor of the poorest, majority of them are not computer literate. Some of them don't have phones. How are they going to participate in this program? That's my question for your guest there.
All right, Israel, thank you. Ms. Apera.
Okay, so the desensitization and advocacy we are doing, we also involve us working with neighborhood centers, neighborhood associations.
Okay.
So I'm sure in Lekki or in Ijadi, for instance, we have piloted this program in Ijadi.
Okay.
Ijadi too, in Ikorodu.
Okay.
When we got there, the team got there, they did duly sensitize the entire community.
Wait, Mr. Pera, because this is one of the questions I was going to ask. Have you started?
Yes.
Oh.
We did the pilot in Lagos, in Ikorodu.
Okay.
Ijadi too.
Okay.
Yes. And what we needed to find out how it will work.
Okay.
In terms of the identified political work, in terms of sending text messages to it.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, when we did that, the result is astonishing. First, we got 135,000 responses.
Mm.
And we piloted it in two political wards in Ikorodu and two political wards in Amak, in the FCT.
Mm.
We got 135 responses, successful registration on the portal. 85% of those were just single entry. Why? 15% were double entry. Mm. So we cleaned that out and we took it out.
Mm.
We then realized that some of the texts were not complete because people forwarded the text messages to their neighbors and to their relatives in as far as Edo State, Delta, and elsewhere.
Ah.
And so the system locked them out and they did not complete the registration process. That is why I said, if you forward that text message to someone outside of that political world,
right,
the system then locks them personal. We accept the initial hit on the portal,
okay,
but then you get a message that, thank you for completing the process. Only those who are in that political world goes the whole way. Now, you ask the question about those who are illiterate or do not have phone numbers.
Yes.
Now, for each community, each of these local areas or this urban poor areas or suburbs that we talk about,
right,
you will notice that we have neighborhood association.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a place where the key people live, for instance, or the Hausa, where you call it either Sabongeri or Angwan.
Yes.
Hausa.
Yes.
Or Angwan, where Igbo community and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So working through those neighborhood associations, we then identify their contacts.
Okay.
And when we sensitize them, we tell them that they can go to their neighborhood associations and meet with their leaders, and through there also register. Now, we've created a grievance redress mechanism system.
Okay.
Wherein there are contact numbers of this local government staff that we are working with in each of the local government of the federation.
Mm.
They interface with the community on a daily basis. The grievance mechanism was literally every day in Ijadi too.
Okay.
Liaising with the associations of groups, okay, and we're responding to this. And finally, on that, we underestimate the capacity in Nigeria. That you find that in every Hutu, with some data on hand, majority have a phone.
Mm.
They have individual household, a single for the entire house.
Mm.
This is very common in this area. They are targeting former sector. Those people you travel it perhaps into your house.
Yeah.
He will tell you to me that you got to have a 3 naira phone as 1,000 phone. Local, it is small, it's not Android enabled.
Mm.
You can see what we have done through the SMS and the USB is that we use the youth and facility that is kind of phone that you can use. It is SMS able that you can get old, you can get it.
Mm.
Now, finally, we know that most phones and some of the phones now come in local languages. There is also access and interpretation in local languages as it affects the area. So, for instance, when we tried it in Ijadi or we tried it in Karishi here in FCT,
okay,
most of the messages that went in the Karishi area were in Pidgin and were in Hausa and they were in English.
Mm.
Some of the messages also in Ijadi were also in the local languages. And our team that did the sensitization and interaction with them did it in the language that they understood, and they had the contacts that they could easily register.
Brilliant, brilliant. Mr. Yoa Apera, please. Last week when we had this conversation with the presidency, Ijerin Gilale represented the presidency, it was just for a short period. But for this morning, we're having a solid 1 hour conversation with you so that my listener can understand what exactly the technicalities are like concerning this. But I have tons of questions, but as is practice, Mr. Apera, on this show, I usually give room for people to interact with my guests more so they can ask you their questions directly. And I have those questions coming in already on our platforms. What I'm trying to say is we're going to go on a quick break right now. When we return after the break, we'll take more of your thoughts on the show this morning. Stay here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Mr. Yowa Akpera is the head of the government agency that we call the National Social Insurance, Social Safety Nets Coordinating Office, NASCO. He joins us from Abuja this morning. We'll be right back. Keep your comments coming through on our socials, on Twitter and on Facebook. YouTube is also, we're live there. I'll be right back after now. Join us again.
This is on 99.3 Info.
And we're back on the radio here on Crossfire. I'm Sherry Tree, and that was a show for live on and YouTube for Nigeria FM as well. You can go there and have a look at what we have on offer for you to our streaming platforms, the two of them. You can also follow us as we go along on the show this morning. The WhatsApp with 09595. That is 0875. The National T-Net Coordinate Office is with us on the phone. So you're very thank you for staying with us on the show this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Before I go back to taking comments and questions on the phone, let me quickly drop my own. Ms. Apera, so during the first half of the show, you mentioned a few things as to the people that this particular initiative is for. If memory serves me right, we have other social interventionist programs like this. We can go on and mention their names. Some of them have also included these same type of people in their plans, in their programs as well. Please tell us, how do you ensure that someone who had benefited from one government program, social investment program, or social benefits program, doesn't come into this or is allowed? Please break that down for us.
Okay, so for the rapid response register, once we get this information from the respondent, part of the cleaning process is that we match it against the social register. Now, you will remember that we also are developing the social register of the poor and vulnerable.
Yes.
In our LGAs and communities. And this is where we pull people, identified poor and vulnerable to access the regular federal government cash transfer program that pays 10,000 naira every two months around the country. So this database is also developed by the Federal Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, Disaster Management and Social Development through NASCO, that's the National Social Assistance Coordinating Office.
Okay.
And so the database is with us. Once we get this information on the rapid response, we match it against the social register. And those we then identify, for instance, when we did this in AMAC here in FCT and Ikorodu in Lagos, there are some of the places like in Karachi where the social register has already been done.
Okay.
And some of the beneficiaries are already enjoying the federal government cash transfer program. When we matched it, we discovered about 1,300 people who we have identified on the rapid response register were already in the social register and accessing the cash transfer. So those people, were we took them off. So there is a rigorous process of developing this register. And we take every step to ensure that, one, it is gotten, it is the target group that we are getting. Two, we know where they reside and we can point to them. Three, that they are not the same people that we have in our social register wherein they are enjoying other cash transfer programs like from the federal government cash transfer program supported by the World Bank. But also the UNDP has also mined from the social register and they are giving cash staffing to about 98,000 poor and vulnerable Nigerians around the country. The UN Women United Nations Women Organization has also moved from the social register, and they are paying about 20,000 poor and vulnerable women across the country. Now, when we match this data against the social register, it helps us eliminate those who are onto this program.
Okay.
Leaving us with those who have not benefited from a cash transfer program point of view.
Hmm.
And these are the individuals then that they have the opportunity to be paid the COVID-19 cash transfer program of the federal government. And indeed, also, the database is open to other organizations like UNICEF, European Union, and the host of others who would want to do targeted programs for our poor and vulnerable, who will mine this information. The database is also open to philanthropic organizations, companies, etc., to also access this information to give help.
If anyone wants to access the database, the person has to come to your ministry.
Yes, the person will just write and enter an MOU with us.
Okay.
Now, two things matter here. One, the fact that you enter an MOU with us to ensure that we get feedback from you.
Okay.
So you can take our data. When you go to the field to then get this individual, maybe he has moved house.
Okay.
Or he was an individual with a family of five or six. There's an addition in the family or anything like that. That feedback loop helps us update the register. The second thing that we enter an MOU with you is not only because there are data security laws in the country that prevent us from accessing or publicly giving detailed information of an individual, but also for the dignity. We have a moral obligation to protect and respect the dignity of these individuals. The fact that they are poor, they are vulnerable, does not take away from the fact that they have the right to their privacy and the right to their information. So when we get this information, we'll try to guide against this. We also to protect them so that when you're coming to take the information, we know why you're taking the information.
Okay.
We've done the due diligence on the organization and the association. We have it on record and documented that you're taking this information for this particular purpose, such that if you then use it elsewhere for anything else, you will be liable, and we can prosecute. All the individuals can do what take it up with you.
Fantastic.
So all of these measures ensures that we enter an agreement with you, specifying exactly what you are taking this data for and your responsibility for the data, including the feedback to us on the access to the data and the use of the data.
Indeed. I'm going to go to the telephone in a moment, but before I do that, I have just one question before we get to the telephone. Just one question, Mr. Opera. So currently right now, we are having the NIN registration and the deadline looming and all. Invariably, some people will most likely be blocked, their lines blocked and all. I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you have any backup plan in case you can't reach some of the people?
Okay, so for like I said before, for the purpose of soliciting for the registration, we are working with neighborhood associations. So where you have maybe like in Ikorodu or in any of the communities there, you have the Igbo, people from Imo State Association, people from Anambra Association, or people from...
How about those who don't belong to any association? They are just there on their own, but then their line has been blocked.
They have access, so there is information within the community. There are posters, there are information going on radio, TV, and everywhere. There are also town criers within the communities that are telling them, if you do not have access to a phone or anything, come to this place.
Okay.
So there are designated areas that you could go to if you do not have such means to reach. Us and access it.
So this is outside of the first messages that you said you'll be sent to them. So these ones, this category of people can do theirs, you know, physically at designated places in those communities.
Yeah.
All right. Chibike is in Lekki. Chibike, hi. Good morning to you.
Hello, Mr. Sherry. Good morning.
Morning to you.
Good morning to our guest. Hello?
Yes, go on. We're listening to you.
You can hear me. Okay. Please, let that girl tell the federal government. Let them make life better for Nigerians. Let us stop sharing this money. Feeding all this from hand to mouth cannot help us. Let them beat factories and companies so that it will be better for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Chibike. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Oh, we lost that. Good morning to you. I think we lost that call as well. So I'm going to go to our social media right now. Let's stress the telephone. Let's take this one from Facebook. Budget Emmy says, in 6 months' time, you will hear 100 million have been used and given to people in the program. But when you search the whole Nigeria, you won't be able to find 10 persons who are beneficiary of this particular program. Mr. Pera, that brings me to my next question. Is there any way at all that people can verify that, okay, these are the people that have benefited from this particular program, Rapid Response Register, from this so-so-so ward, that ward, that ward? I mean, how can people know exactly who and who have benefited or are beneficiaries of this RRR?
Okay, so the database, the aggregate beneficiaries will be displayed publicly and published everywhere. If you're on our social media, NAFCO, you will see that every month we display the aggregate figures of the social register. One as recent as last week that shows that the social register now has 6 million poor and vulnerable households, 25 million individuals.
I guess what people are saying is there a way they can know the names, the people, attach faces to the names? Is that also available?
If you first and foremost, online, you will find out that we will display the... that's why we're taking geo-coordinates of these individuals.
Okay.
But remember, I told you for the fact that you want to also respect the dignity of these people and also... the data security laws, except you come and act and sign an MOU with us or an agreement with us that you are for the purpose of this. I'm afraid we will not be able to display that publicly. And now, look, you can't question it,
yeah.
No doubt. Hmm. But let me give you an example. Let me ask a question.
Okay.
You have a mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a mortgage. All of us have a mortgage. How would you feel if we display the names of the total mortgage that you have publicly in the newspaper for everybody to see?
Okay.
That you, Mr. A, you have a mortgage of 25 million that you have not paid for 6 months in social bank at that bank. So we need to also respect that. The fact that these people are poor does not give them, does not take away from them
their rights to privacy.
Or their right to privacy.
Hmm.
So we need to respect that. But if you come to me, like, I would challenge any of us, really, that go to the community where the social register is in.
Okay.
You will find a community list that is signed by the community and is domiciled in that community.
Hmm.
I will not print that names on paper.
Hmm.
But I will print every community that the social register is in. So it's just for you to take a drive or a ride or a walk to that community and you will see the list in that community. That's how far the integrity of the process is established.
Well, what you're saying now, Mr. Pera, what you're saying now is kind of strange. You know why? Because when the SSA to the President of Public Affairs, Ajuri Ngilale, was on the show last week, he did say that the names of these people will be on a certain website. Is that true or not?
Of course, you all have access to the website would then display the geo-coordinates of all of these individuals and their names.
Okay.
Access to the individuals will be by permission.
Oh, okay.
To protect them.
Okay.
Like the example I've given, we need to be seen very obviously as a government, as a people, to protect our people and our beneficiaries.
All right.
But everybody has access to it with the right permission.
Okay.
You can have access to it.
Okay.
The government is not hiding it in any way. And if we then get express approvals from the government that display it publicly on the basis of A, B, and C, why not? We'll do that. But there has to be a process to give you permission to that based on our data security laws and the information.
Hmm.
But yes, Ngelele was right. They are in the database, linked to our website,
okay,
and they are accessible at any time with the right permission.
Okay. All right. Let's look at Peter. Peter is in Badagry. Peter, hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to your guest.
Go on, Peter.
Yes, I think your guest spoke very well. But for me, I think it's good for government that program will not get to the people that they are really meant to get to. So my suggestion here is government should set up a skills acquisition program,
okay,
that the youth can learn. Like when we talk of maybe plumbing, carpentry, retrica, so many. So government should set up all these skills acquisition programs. We still look at our country for now.
Right.
A lot of youth are unemployed. But so if government set up this skills acquisition program,
right,
to make the youth, you know, to benefit more than just giving them money. The money cannot not take them.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for talking to us. Appreciate it. Emi Sapera, we're beginning to wrap off now. When we were starting the conversation, you did say that text messages will be sent to people when you're about to launch. When is the major launch coming up, apart from the one that the test run you did in Nijeda to in Kurdu and the one in Abuja? But for the major launch, when is it going to happen? And for how long will this take place?
The scale around the entire country is happening by 5th of February. The reason is simple, that after we did the initial launch by the Vice President at the scale, first we had piloted the text messages to get to people,
okay,
and the information that we got bank account numbers, and then we test run also the payment. As soon as Mr. Vice President pressed the button, people got alerts, and we got that confirmation. We have reconciled the accounts. We know out of the 3,115 people we sent the monies to,
okay,
about 40 or so bounced back, okay, for one problem or the other. Mm. And those were corrected and their payments were made back.
Okay.
Now we are very clear. We've sent back the reports. We've gotten the necessary approvals from the Honorable Minister. And we are going to scale full blast around the whole country on or before the 5th of February.
Mm.
Now, prior to this, part of why the delay again is that we need to sensitize people. So the state teams are at various stages of sensitizing and communicating to each of these identified political wards for them to better understand the program, for them to better participate in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the efforts of the pilot and what the lessons learned was that we needed a lot of time in socializing the program within the communities that we are targeting.
Okay.
Because some of the responses we got in terms of the questions, close to 75% of the complaints we got were all on inquiry.
Hmm.
And so we knew that it was because the information perhaps didn't saturate enough in the communities. So we did allocate 2 to 3 weeks intensive advocacy and communication within these communities,
right,
to help socialize the program so that the text messages, when they come, it will be easy.
Hmm.
It is very expensive in terms of the text messages and the USSD code. So access to the gateway to it has to be managed in a way that it is not overboard for government to manage.
Right.
So we're taking
right.
these factors into consideration, and that's why we're investing in this amount of publicity within the targeted political wards.
Hmm.
In total, all over the country, about 1,146 urban political wards are targeted, equitably distributed around the country.
Okay.
So every state of the federation, every single state of the federation, including the FCC, will be targeted where the urban poor live to come onto the social register.
Fantastic.
Response register.
Fantastic. Mr. Yoapera, thank you so much for joining us on the Crossfire today. It's been quite enlightening speaking with you. Thank you for joining our show today.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. The General Manager at the National Social Safety Net Coordinating Office, Mr. Yoapera, joining us this morning on the Crossfire. Okay, so that's our conversation today. Thank you for being a part of it.